You are listening to Spoiler Alert, all things film in Providence and beyond on 88.1 FM, WELH Providence, and streaming and archived on bsrlive.com. I'm your host, Tony Pinocchia, and today we feature interviews with filmmakers from the films Elevate, The Ripoff, and Jukebox Vanishing America. For more information on the filmmakers, visit rifilmfest.org or click the links under the show information for this episode of Spoiler Alert on bsrlive.com. Our first film today is an Australian short called Elevate.
Hi there, my name's Ben and I'm the director of Elevate, a short film from Australia. And we're travelling with it, and Providence here, which we love, is our first stop in the US, so we're really enjoying it so far.
And this has been our North American premiere. Then we head off to LA for the Los Angeles International Film Festival and also up to Palm Springs.
Oh, so you're really going to see the US.
Absolutely,
we're on the festival junket.
Yep, we're on the circuit.
So tell us about this film, because people listening may never have seen this film.
Okay, Elevate is a dark psychological thriller. For me personally, it's a story about connection and reaching out and wanting to connect with people. With modern technology these days, mobile phones, email, Blackberries, so on, and there's seems that we're getting less and less versed with just talking to people. And that's what, essentially, for me personally, my film is about, that focuses around a loner that not a lot of people talk to, and no matter what talks to him, in our case a talking elevator, he responds to it. So for me personally, that's what the film is about.
Did you want to add to that?
Well, I think Ben really summed it up. It really is a story about human connection, even though he's connecting with a not-so-human element, being an elevator in this case. And it really looks at how he expresses himself and looks for an outside source for other problems that are going on in his life, basically. And it's not your typical film. It's quite different from a lot of the things that we've seen so far here at Rhode Island. But it really does tell a human story in a not-so-human world.
So where did the idea come from to actually pick him being in an elevator and having the elevator basically be the love of his life?
I did spend a bit of time thinking about that, and I thought about what things are you around a lot that you kind of just stand in. You know, I mean, when you're in your car, you're kind of driving your car. When you're at home, you're kind of moving around and all the rest of it. But at work, particularly in the elevator, you're just sitting there. You're just standing there, and you're just waiting. And I thought, oh, that's quite an interesting concept. And yeah, I don't know what came to me about an elevator. I just, a little bit of that, and just, why not? There was a bit of why not in this film.
Where did you get some of the different acting talent, like particularly the elevator voice and the main actor?
Yep. The elevator voice, a little bit of trivia here for you, is actually our writer and producer, Shelley Egan. She filled in on the days of recording because our actor needed a voice to respond to. And we all thought that she did a great job. She actually studied film acting in New York, so she knew what she was doing. And we went back in the recording studio and recorded her voice. So that's where the voice of the elevator comes from. Our main star, Mandy Kane, is an established musician back in Australia. He's had a couple of albums out and gets some airplay on the radio. He's making a bit of a break into the US here. He's just recently finished up an LA and Canadian tour. I've known Mandy for a couple of years, and as soon as I started writing this film, I actually couldn't see anybody else but Mandy in it. We did do an open casting call, and it only confirmed my view that Mandy was the right part. Angela was a friend of a friend. She's studying at the National Institute of Dramatic Arts in Australia, which is where Geoffrey Rush, Mel Gibson, a lot of popular Australian actors studied, so I knew she had the talent to do it. And then our third actor, Sally Ann Ryan, was a friend of a friend. She's done many feature films back home.
So you mentioned the musician being in the lead actor in the film, and I noticed that quite a bit of the music. You want to tell us a little bit more about the soundtrack for the film?
Yeah, the soundtrack was very important to everybody involved with it. It was, you know, it's something that we really talked about right from the very start. And before the film was actually even finished, the main song, which is called Glitch, and you can get it on Mandy Kane's latest album, that was actually finished before the film was. And I actually used that as a bit of inspiration. It was quite interesting the way it worked. I told Mandy I wanted him to be in the film. I wrote the script along with Shelley and Sally, and I showed him the script, and he wrote the song based on the script, and then I based some of the visuals on his song. So it was kind of a good collaborative effort there. So, but yeah, you know, he did all the music throughout the whole piece, and it brings the whole film together.
And the other actress you said, was that the person that played the mom, or was that the person that played the boss?
Angela Scundi plays the manager, and Sally Ann Ryan plays the mother.
Okay. What did you do before this film? Like, what came before this film, and then what led you into this film?
Yeah, sure. Lisa and I and Shelley, our other creative partner on this project, we actually all work in television back home. We work for various different production companies. I currently work for Channel 9, which is exactly the same as your CBS here. And just basically, we all wanted to, you know, make the leap from television, which is a great learning environment, but artistically it can be a little bit limited. So we wanted to do something that kind of pushed our artistic abilities and put our vision out to the world as well.
So do you have a pretty gloomy vision of offices? It seems it based on the vision in the film.
I absolutely do, actually. I spent about a year working in a bank in Australia on about the 25th level, it was around about, a bank called NAB back home, and I just hated it. I just thought, look at all these
people. There's got to be more to life.
There's got to be more life. And I was actually in the elevator one day. I mean, I was only like 17. I just got out of high school and was between high school and college. And a guy was standing in the elevator looking at me, and he just goes, mate, there has got to be more to life than this. And that kind of stuck with me, and I think a bit of that resonates in this film.
Tell us again where people can get more information on the film and different projects you guys are doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, currently we're working on our feature film, which is scheduled for production in January, February next year. And that's going to be quite different from a group of Australians. We're doing some things that haven't been seen before and breaking some new ground, I believe. And if people would like to find out more about Elevate, they can go to our website, which is elevatemovie.com. And we're also on MySpace, myspace.com/elevatethemovie.
So where is the film at this point? You mentioned that this is the first stop in the U.S. Where are you? Where's the future of this film?
The future as pretty much as an example of our skills. I think even though Lisa's right, our next project is going to be very different, but I think this one gives people who are interested in this a bit of a window into, oh, okay, I can see where these guys are going. So, yeah, you know, just something to put out there into the world before we make the leap into the world of features.
Okay, well, thanks so much, guys.
Thanks for listening.
And, thank you very much. Providence has been wonderful to us.
Thanks, guys.
All right, well, check out Elevate if this draws you. And again, the website's
elevatemovie.com.
And then the MySpace page?
myspace.com/elevatethemovie.
Okay. Thank you very much, guys.
You are listening to Spoiler Alert, All Things Film in Providence and Beyond on 88.1 FM WELH Providence and BSRLive.com. Our next interview today is with the makers of a short entitled The Rip-Off.
My name is Elizabeth Welling, and I'm with the short film The Rip-Off.
My name is Kun Chang, and I'm the director of the film The Rip-Off.
Tell us what the inspiration of doing a film called Rip-Off was.
Actually, an article about pickpocketing in New York Times.
I mean, it was an interesting film, that's for sure. I mean, we learned a lot about pickpocketing. There was actually a guy coaching on the set. That was amazing. His name is Apollo.
Apollo Robbins.
Yeah, yeah, and he was doing like all the stunts. It all looks easy, but all the actors had to sort of rehearse, and it was very choreographed, and Quinn did a lot of choreography with the camera to make it all... Well, I can't give the punch line, right?
But and I mean, spoiler alert, sure you can.
You gotta be curious, listeners, and you gotta come and see the film.
There you go.
Yeah, you definitely need to see the film, and I mean, it's amazing because you really, I mean, you have a shock after, and I mean, it's real things. It's actually things that are happening, you know, and how sometimes you participate to your own ripoff in a way.
So where was this actually shot?
It was shot in Montreal. We shot over 4 nights in a real hi-fi store, and every night we had to bring everything in, put everything up, and in the morning we had to take it all out again, and then next night we had to make it all look the same.
Wow, that must have been quite a feat there doing that.
Yeah, it was a very tight thing, and they had to start. We had to be out at 7 o'clock. We could only start at 6 o'clock in the evening, and it was a very tight schedule. Shot in the winter, and there was no way we could go over time. So,
was it actually a similar type of store that, like, as far as like the merchandise?
Yeah. Well, I would say it's kind of a gray market store, definitely, and that's very much the inspiration for the film as well.
Well, since we have one of the main actresses here, you want to tell us about your character in the film?
I'd say that she's somebody who really wants to defend a cause, and sometimes, you know, you don't get the full picture of a situation and you sort of defend something that you don't really know. Visually, I'm sure Kun did a wonderful job. He's been doing a lot of animation, and visually it's quite amazing what he did with the film.
Which leads me to, like, what your foundation is. What before you started this film, what did you do beforehand, or what are you doing?
What am I doing? I work as a director. I've done documentaries before. This is my first fictional film. I've done animation for video games. I did something for a game called The Prince of Persia. Otherwise, I worked as a production designer and concept artist on a couple of films. Star Wars, The Fifth Element, The Fabulous Thunderbirds, stuff like that.
So how would you compare this experience with this film to some of the other work that you've done and are currently doing?
I have to say, directing fiction actually turned out to be one of the most exciting things I've ever done. I really, really enjoyed it. I mean, there are lots of things that I would do differently. It's the first experience. I think the fact that we shot 4 nights made it